I'll go to this. How about that? Amen. That'll work. I'm so happy to be with you today in Norwich, in the house of God, and I always enjoy coming back here to Norwich. You know, it's kind of funny because just about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, I was thinking to myself, you know, I usually go to Norwich in August when Pastor Randy goes out to National Fine Arts, but, you know, this year his daughter's in Bible school. She's not doing that. And I said, I wonder if I'll be going back to Norwich. And next thing I knew, I got a message from him on Facebook saying, hey, can you come on July 2nd? And I said, I will be happy to come to Norwich on July 2nd. So I've been so excited. I've been telling everybody that I'm coming, and I've been excited about this because I genuinely do love each and every one of you and always look forward to seeing you every time I come. God's been doing great things in our family. My children are getting bigger. My daughter, I need you to pray for me because my daughter is going to high school this coming fall, and Daddy's not ready for this. So, and Mama's not ready for this. You keep us in prayer. For those of you that don't know me, I see a couple faces that I don't recognize. My wife and I, we have three children that have been diagnosed with autism. How many know God is greater than autism? Amen. And so she's going to be going to a special education program at Cranston East High School this coming fall. And Mommy and Daddy are fervently on our knees praying because she's too beautiful to go to high school. Amen. And so you all pray that I don't go to jail. Amen. Our boys are now 11 and 10 years old, and they're getting big. In fact, Daddy's baby, the 10-year-old, now stands at 5'2" and 126 pounds. And so he's going to be a big boy. And God's been blessing us. We had all three of our children involved in Special Olympics this past June in the Rhode Island State Games. And I'm happy to say that they got, between the three of them, one fifth place ribbon, three bronzes, a silver, and a gold. And so, yes. So Daddy's quite proud. I was walking around with my chest out all day long as my kids were racking in the medals. And so I was really happy about that. Keep them in prayer that God would just continue to bless them and encourage them. And my wife sends her love. She wishes she could be here, but she runs a special needs children's church in our church. And so she had to be there to take care of that. Pray for us. We've been seeing an increase, an influx of special needs individuals into the church in Taunton. And we are beginning to expand our ministry to the special needs community in a greater way. We started off with a children's church for special needs kids. Over the past few years, we've seen four special need adults and more children come into the church to the place where now we are getting ready to start a new ministry, which is a support structure for special needs caretakers. And so these will be caretakers and parents of special needs kids who we'll be gathering with once a month to encourage and to support, build up in the body of Christ. And keep us in prayer because there is a mission field there in the special needs community. They oftentimes are isolated. They don't come to church because they're afraid of disrupting the service. And as a result, they stay home and they don't hear the gospel. And they need Jesus just as much as anybody else does. And so pray that God will continue to work in the churches to open up their doors to this community that has been unreached and really needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And keep us in prayer as we do this. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, we'll be starting at verse 3. When you found it, say amen. Now, some of you might be looking at me going, Pastor Derek, why are you preaching from a tablet? Where's your Bible, Pastor Derek? Well, I will tell you what's going on. Our 11-year-old DJ, my house was full of Bibles. But my 11-year-old DJ over the past couple years has developed a habit of ripping paper. And there seems to be no paper that thrills him more than nice, crinkly Bible paper. So needless to say, over the past year or so, every Bible in the house has fallen victim to DJ's new habit. So as a result, I mean, it's not malicious. He just loves the feel of the paper, so he rips it out to play with it. And there goes the whole of 1 Kings or the whole of Hebrews. And so Mommy and Daddy just decided, you know what, we're going to have the Bible on tablet, and he can't rip it, and we can have it in any translation we want, and that's what we're going to do from here on out. And so that's the reason why Pastor Derek is preaching from a tablet, is because my Bibles fell victim to my son. So hopefully he outgrows it, but amen. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 9, when you found it, say amen. And it reads as follows, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter the city, then there is famine in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, no man was there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites, and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in to one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good news, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. They said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good news, and we hold our peace. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Father, I pray that you will give us a rhema word today. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Father, touch us, change us, transform us by the power of your word. I pray that you anoint my heart and my mind and my ears to be attentive to the leading of your spirit. Anoint my lips to speak forth your word with power and authority. Touch every life. Anoint their hearts and ears to receive your word. Let faith be built up in their hearts. Let them be encouraged. Let them be changed. And Father, I pray mostly that your name would be glorified, that your church be edified, and let the devil be horrified. I pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you on the subject, today is a day of good news. Today is a day of good news. You know, this week we are celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day. It is happening 2 days from now. We all know that July 4th, 1776 is the ratification of the Declaration of Independence, where the 13 colonies threw off the shackles of Great Britain, England, the King George III, and declared, no more shall we be subject to the rulership of a foreign king, but we shall tread our own destiny and plot our own course. As they were preparing the Declaration of Independence in the Continental Congress, Benjamin Franklin made a prediction. He said that upon the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which he thought would be July 2nd, he said there would be an occasion of parades, an occasion of fireworks, an occasion of celebration for the people of America. He had the date wrong, but he had the idea right, because they celebrated because it was a day of good news. It meant that no longer would they be subject to the rule of the British power, but they were free to plot their own course and achieve their own destiny. It was a day of good news. Hallelujah. And we are still celebrating it today. Well, I'm here to tell you that we live in a day of good news. Hallelujah. Some of you might say, well, Pastor Derek, how can you say that? Every time you turn on the blues, I mean the news, they're always talking about something going wrong somewhere. Pastor Derek, how can you say it is a day of good news? We turn on the news and we see a shooting of innocent victims. We see assassinations. We hear about war. We hear about terrorist acts. We hear about poverty. How can it be a day of good news? Every time we turn around, somebody is losing their job. Somebody is losing their home. Somebody is going into poverty. How can you say it is a day of good news? When you read about shootings in Chicago, how can it be a day of good news? How can it be a day of good news when our leadership cannot get along with each other and are driven by political motives? How can it be a day of good news? These four lepers faced such a time as this. They were in a time of war. They were in a time of famine. They were in a time of great poverty. They were in a time of struggle. The Bible says that the Assyrian army had surrounded the city, had besieged them in the city. The capital was besieged. The people were in desperate times. They were in famine. They were worried about the armies that surrounded them, that every other nation had fallen to. When you go back and read about that time in the Bible, the famine was so severe that people were actually buying dung and donkey heads for food. The Bible tells a story about two women during this very siege that had become so desperate that they made a deal with one another. They both had babies, and they said, "We will kill your baby today and eat it, and then we'll kill my baby tomorrow to eat it." That's how desperate the times were for them. Sometimes we might feel like we are impoverished. We might feel like we are besieged on every side. We might feel like we have everything coming against us as a child of God. Yes, we have the struggles and the trials, the frustrations and the temptations. But today is still a day of good news. In spite of all the things that we have to face and that we have to go through, it is still a day of good news. Because there is a change coming for the people of God. Hallelujah. You see, in verse 1, Elijah prophesied to the king that God was about to flip the script for his people. God was about to bring a deliverance. God was about to bring a victory into the life of his people if they could just hold on and wait for the day of good news. Hallelujah. No matter what we face, no matter the struggles that come, today is a day of good news. You see, it started when four lepers had had enough. Come on, somebody. See, you have to have enough. Every mother in this place knows about enough. Come on. Come on. I remember being a kid and going, "Mom, mom, 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 mom," until she had enough. Because I knew once she had enough, that if I said mom one more time, something was going to happen that I wasn't ready for. Come on, somebody. It's time for the church to have enough. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the living this way. I'm tired of the frustrations. I'm tired of going on. I'm tired of it. Sometimes we get too complacent in our situation. Come on. Sometimes we just sit there a little bit too long because we've gotten used to our rut. But today is a day of good news. And it's time for you to say enough is enough. I'm tired of this. I want my good news. Come on, somebody. They said to each other, why sit we here until we die? Why are we just going to sit here and perish? Why are we going to sit here and just make it? Why are we going to sit here and just survive? God has something better for each and every one of us. Come on, somebody. The problem was this. They did not realize that God had already given them the victory. Come on. They didn't realize what God had done through the night. They were sitting there as if they were still surrounded and besieged, having no idea the victory had already been won. You know, that's our problem. Come on, somebody. We go through the struggle and the trial and the heartache and the pain, and we sit there and we cry our tears and we sob our way through it, and we struggle when we don't even realize that God has already won the victory. Come on. God has already won the victory. Hallelujah. He already won the battle for you. Come on, somebody. When he was in the garden saying, not my will, but thine be done, he was fighting for us. Come on. He went up on the cross and took the nails in his hands, nails in his feet, because he was fighting for us. He took the stripes upon his back because he was fighting for us. Hallelujah. He said, Father, forgive them, because he was fighting for us. And 3 days later, he came out with the victory. Hallelujah. Just for us. And because he has overcome, we can overcome. Hallelujah. It is a day of good news. They decided they had enough. They went into the camp saying, if we perish, we perish, but we can't stay like this. Or when's the last time you took a risk for God? Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you guys were talking to you about things he wants to do through your life for a long time, but you've been sitting there because you're not willing to take the risk. Why sit there till you die? They found the camp. It was empty. They got so excited. Look at all this food. Look at all this gold and silver. Look at all these garments. It's so beautiful. Look, it's all for us. 4 guys in a whole camp full of goodies. They were having a party. They were eating. They were drinking. I could see them trying on robes, trying on rings. Look at, oh, praise God, look at me. I got victory, hallelujah. Look, hey, this is awesome. They went in and claimed what was theirs. They went and claimed their prize. They claimed their victory. And it was awesome. Bountiful, blessing, overflow. And don't we preach about that in the church today? That's what we want to hear. How can I be blessed? How can I prosper? We love to talk about that. And they were celebrating it, and it was wonderful. But then the Holy Spirit began to convict them, because they said, we're not doing right. We are not doing right. Because while we are being blessed, there are a bunch of people back in the city that don't have what we have. They don't know what we know. They have no idea what we have walked into. The blessing that we have seen manifested. They're in there acting as if it was yesterday instead of today, the day of good news. It was a pivotal point for these 4 beggars. They had a choice to make. Do we keep it for ourselves? Or do we share it with others? Will we walk in blessings and let others suffer? Or will we tell others about the good news? They said, we do not well, for today is a good day of good news, and we remain silent. Beloved, we are in a day of good news, but we do not do well if we are silent. Come on. We are walking in salvation. We are walking in healing. We are walking in deliverance. We're walking in the victory that God has purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. We know that heaven is real and we're on our way there. We are walking in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a day of good news, but there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people outside the walls of the church that do not know that today is a day of good news. Come on, somebody. They are hurting, they are wounded, they are broken, their marriages are being destroyed, their lives are bound in addiction, they are depressed, and they're bound by alcohol, they're bound by drugs, they're bound by pornography, they're bound by all kinds of other things that this world has put in their life. They are living in spiritual famine while the church is walking in the bountiful blessings of Almighty God. And we are sitting back feasting while they're in famine. Oh, come on, somebody. We are sitting back blessed while they walk under a curse. We're walking in healing and victory while they're walking in sickness and defeat. We do not well if we keep this to ourselves. God has given us a message of good news. And let me tell you, it's not just for the pastors to preach. Come on, somebody. Oh, Pastor Derek, I give $50 a month to TBN, and that's my contribution to the gospel. Stop it. Come on, somebody. Amen or ouch. We do not well if we are silent while the nation is in peril. We do not well when we're silent about the blessings that we have partaken of when they are hurting and wounded. God has a message for the suffering people of America. A message that only we can bring to them. A message of hope in Jesus Christ. That today is a day of good news. There's three things that we need to tell them. Number one, we need to tell them that the battle is over. Oh, come on, somebody. The battle is over. The struggle is over. The battle is over. The Bible says that in the middle of the night, God made them hear the sound of chariots and of a host, and the Syrians fled before them. That's verse 6 and 7. They fled for their life. We have been locked in a spiritual battle of our lives through this age, trying to make it to heaven. There are people out there right now who are trying to make it spiritually, going to New Age and Buddha and everything else, trying to find peace, when we need to tell them that the battle is over because Jesus Christ has overcome. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The battle is over. We need to tell our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, you don't have to struggle on your own. You don't have to go through it by yourself. Jesus Christ has already won the victory for you. If you'll just receive him as your Lord and Savior, he will come through for you. Your battle can be over. Jesus will fight it for you. Jesus will fix it for you. We see it everywhere we go. People in a death struggle, when all they have to do is turn to Jesus. Paul said in Romans, how shall they call on him of who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach lest they be sent? God wants us to share the good news to the people that the battle is over. You don't have to struggle like that anymore. Jesus can overcome your addiction. Jesus can overcome your depression. Jesus can overcome the things that have bound you up in life. You don't have to fight the life and death struggle anymore. Jesus already did it for you, and he rose victorious to give you life and life more abundantly. The battle is over. I remember many, many years ago, Mike Tyson was getting ready to fight a man named Peter McNeely. I don't know if you guys remember that. Peter McNeely was from the Boston area, and in my opinion, had no business being in boxing. Peter McNeely was about as green as could be, and he was going to fight Mike Tyson, one of the craziest men on the planet. And I remember watching the press conference, the pre-fight press conference. And you had McNeely on this side with his whole crew over here. And you had Mike Tyson on this side with his whole crew over there. And in the middle was Don King trying to sell the fight with his hair all sticking up everywhere. And the reporter finally asked, and they were trying to do this whole thing like, Peter McNeely's going to be like Rocky. It's going to be like the movie Rocky, you know, the amateur versus the champ. It's going to be so, watch this, it's going to be great. And I said to myself, would somebody get serious? Finally, a reporter asked the question that everybody should have been asking. They said, Don King, do you really believe Peter McNeely can handle someone like Mike Tyson in the ring? And I remember seeing Don King sit there with his smile. And he said, no, mind you, Mike Tyson's over here. And Peter McNeely and his crew are over here. And he looked at them and said, oh, sure. When the hurricane lands in your front yard, it'll knock your house down too. And then he looked over at Mike Tyson and smirked and smiled. And I said, oh, it's over. It's already over. This fight's done. This guy's in danger. He doesn't even know it. Sure enough, it was over. Before it even began, it was over. The battle's over. See, Peter McNeely faced an enemy that he could now overcome, and as a result, was defeated very quickly. Well, how many know Satan tried to fight an enemy he could not overcome? Hallelujah. And he was defeated very quickly. And that enemy of Satan is on your side. And if you receive him as Lord and Savior, if you'll serve him, the battle's over. We need to tell people that. The battle's over. They need to know that there's victory in Jesus. We sing about it in the church walls. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. But we don't tell them. Tell them the battle is over. Tell them there's an answer to their struggle. Secondly, tell them where the bread is. Tell them where the bread is. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent. It did eat and drink. Tell them where the bread is. Tell them where they can get food. Tell them that they don't have to go around spiritually impoverished. I think it's no mistake that when Jesus was born on this earth to do the work of the Father and to save mankind, that he was born in the little village of Bethlehem. We sing songs about it at Christmas. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. But do you know what Bethlehem actually means in the original language? Bethlehem means house of bread. Oh, come on. Jesus told them in John, he said, I am the bread of life. Come on, somebody. We got to tell them where the bread is. They are hungry. They are in a spiritual famine. They are in a time of lack in their life. We got to tell them, I know where the bread is. I know a place where you can go get fed to your heart's delight. I know a place that you can come to and receive the word of God, and it will bless you, and it will strengthen you, and it will encourage you. It will fill you up. You will be full instead of hungry. Tell them where the bread is. The bread is the word of God. Hallelujah. The bread is the word of God. I found it funny when I was pastoring in a church down in Silver Spring, Maryland, as the youth pastor there. I did quite a bit of counseling, not just the youth, but adults. And somebody asked me a question one day. They said, "Pastor Derek, why is it every time you counsel somebody, you always say to them, the Bible says this, or the Bible says that?" I said, "Well, number one, I'm a pastor. What else am I supposed to say? But number two, there's no better rule book for life." Come on, somebody. "There's no better source for an answer. There is no better instrument of inspiration than the Bible, the Word of God. It is bread to the believer." Hallelujah. When we get together and we have Bible study, we say we're breaking bread with one another. Come on. Because the Bible is like bread to us. It feeds our spirit. It feeds our inner man. Every answer to every problem that you will ever face is in the Word of Almighty God. It's sad that we live in a day and age where some men of God have gotten away from preaching the Word. They preach pop psychology. They preach this latest trend and that latest trend. I remember one time I was at a church and saw this young man get up and preach. And his whole message was on the Lion King, Mufasa and Simba and Scar and all that. Did not quote one scripture. Not one scripture. I said to myself, he's lucky I'm not in charge. Somebody would be sitting down right now. Listen, they don't need our psychology. They don't need our humanistic ideas. What they need is the Word of Almighty God. When your neighbors come to you with a problem, when your family comes to you with a problem, when your friends come to you distressed, point them towards the Word. Point them towards the Bible. Show them what Jesus said. Show them what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say. Show them what Paul said. Give them the Word. Who cares what Dr. Phil has to say? Who cares what Oprah has to say? And Lord knows, you know, Maury and Jerry Springer don't got the answer. Come on, somebody. Point them to the Bible. Show them the Word of God. Show them, "Thus saith the Lord." Show them the red letters of the gospel. Show them what Jesus had to say. God has the answer in His Word for their lives. Show them where the bread is. This will change your life if you read it. When I was youth pastoring in Silver Spring, Maryland, I remember we put a challenge out to the whole youth group. Myself, the junior high school, Sunday school teacher, we came up with this idea. Give God five. We told them to spend 5 minutes in the Word every day. At least five minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer. See what God will do in your life. It was amazing, the transformation in that youth group when they decided to give God five. Just 5 minutes. These were kids that had no devotional life at all. All of a sudden, they were giving God 5 minutes in the Word or 5 minutes in prayer every single day. The transformation in the youth group was amazing. We went from having only two kids baptized in the Holy Ghost to every single kid baptized in the Holy Ghost in a four-month span. Those kids got radical for God. They got wild. They started Bible clubs. They were out on the street witnessing. They were having their own prayer meetings. They got radical. They were inviting gang members to my youth group. I was like, "Excuse me, hello. Make sure they're not packing before they come in my church." They got radical because they got a hold of some bread. And it filled them up to overflowing. I like what T.D. Jakes said, a profound statement that he made. He said, "I'm not a preacher telling y'all how y'all should live to get to heaven. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found the bread." Come on, somebody. Tell them where the bread is. Let them know that the Word will change their life. Lastly, tell them there is a bountiful blessing. Verse 8 says, "And carry thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Do you realize that there is a bountiful blessing in God? There's an old hymn that says, "There shall be showers of blessings." I don't know about you, but I've been blessed. God blesses me all the time. I'm talking about unlooked for blessings. Look, oh, Pastor Derek, you're about to preach prosperity. No, I'm not preaching prosperity. That means God will supply all your needs, not your greeds. Come on, somebody. Your needs according to his riches and glory. I can only tell you what God has done for me. I remember when we just had my daughter Elena. It was just her. And she was growing like a weed. She was about 2.5 years old or so. And she spent most of her nights in mommy and daddy's bed to daddy's chagrin, because we only had a full-size bed. You know what it's like to have two full-grown adults and a 2.5-year-old in the same bed? Once a 2.5-year-old gets in there, there's no room for nobody else. She slept diagonal, feet in my back, cuddled up against mama. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, "Lord, I need a bigger bed. Either make this girl stop sleeping with us or give us a bigger bed. Lord, I need a bigger bed. Please." And I said, "Lord, somehow, some way, provide. I need a bigger bed." I got a call from a funeral director 2 weeks later. She said, she's a friend of mine. She said, "Pastor Derek, I was wondering if you could help me out." I said, "What do you need?" She said, "I have a funeral that I need done." I said, "I'll do it. No problem, don't worry." She goes, "Well, let me tell you the situation." I said, "Okay." She said, "The man was an IRS agent. So basically the church will be full of IRS agents." I said, "Oh, Lord. I better do a good job or I will be audited for the rest of my life." The night of the funeral came. The only relative that he had there was one sister. That was it. It was just the two of them. Everybody else was gone. It's just her. It was her and 75 IRS agents sitting in the church. 75 of them. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, help me." I did the funeral. At the end of the service, people were walking out. "Good job, Pastor." I said, "Thank you. Don't audit me. Thank you. Don't audit me. Thank you. Don't audit me." The next day, his sister calls me up. She goes, "Pastor, thank you for doing a great job at my brother's funeral." She said, "This might sound like a weird question for you, but I wanted to ask you." She goes, "My brother had a queen-size bed in his guest room that's only ever been used one time. Do you know anybody that could use it?" I said, "Hallelujah, I know just the person." I got the senior pastor's truck, drove up to where the brother lived, took a brand new, beautiful, Sealy Posturepedic queen bed, put it into that truck with the frame and everything. She said, "Well, while you're here, Pastor, you know, he had no children. I'm his only other relative. That's it, just the two of us." She goes, "So we have this TV here. Do you know someone that could take that?" I said, "Yes, I know someone that could take that too." She said, "Here's some artwork that he had on the wall. Do you know, I know someone that could take the artwork too." Amen. Hallelujah. I needed a bed and walked out with a TV and artwork on top of it. How great is our God? I remember another time I was just driving along and just said, "Lord, you know, I only got two suits, just the gray one and the black one. Lord, I could really use a new suit." And there was a suit I had had my eye on in the suit store in the mall. I haven't worn it here because it's a little too, well, it's royal blue with white pinstripes, double-breasted, and the jacket goes down to the knee. It's a little much sometimes. But I had my eye on that suit, but never really, didn't have the finances to buy it, but just, "Lord, you know, I could use a new suit, Lord." Just one day I got a call from a church member. "Hey, what are you doing for lunch?" Said, "Nothing." He said, "I'm going to come by and pick you up." I said, "Okay, wonderful." He came by, picked me up from the office, started driving down the road, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, where are we going? Are we going to go to the seafood place. We can go over there. Where are we going to go? Where's he going to take me? We pulled into the mall. I said, well, you know, I'll eat food court food. I'm not picky. It's okay. We went walking through the mall. And as we walked past the suit store, he grabbed my arm, directed me into it, and said, go in there, pick any suit you want. God told me to buy you a suit. I walked right up and grabbed that blue suit. So here it is. That's the one. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God is a blessing God. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. We have a problem with that concept, some of us. Because of maybe our upbringing or the hardships of life, we feel like we're God's little red-headed stepchild and God wants to bless everybody but us. But God has blessings for you. I'm not saying that God's going to give you a Cadillac, no. Don't go out there and say, Pastor Derek said that. I did not say that. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh within us. God is able. God is willing. The question is, do you believe it or not? Let people know that we serve a God that blesses his children. I have a bad habit, to my wife's chagrin. You see, Daddy is a sugar daddy. And what I mean by that is this. Daddy is always bringing sugar into the house. I don't know what it is, but I'll be shopping in the store for stuff that we need. And I'll walk by the candy section and go, you know, the kids would really love that. Big bag of Reese's peanut butter cups or circus peanuts or marshmallows or ice cream. And I'll walk in the door, and my wife will begin unpacking the groceries, and I'll always hear it coming out of the kitchen. Why did you buy this? The kids don't need it. I said, it's because I'm their father, and I can. That's why I bought it. It's not because they deserve it. It's not because they earned it. It's just because Daddy feels like buying it for them. That's why. But isn't that like God our Father? He blesses us. Because he can, hallelujah. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but simply because of who he is and how much he loves us. He wants to bless us and do good towards us. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from the Father. God wants to bless you. There was a picture going around Facebook last year of this little kid with the biggest smile on his face, looking up towards heaven, and it said, thank you, Lord, I know that was you. Isn't that how it is when God blesses us? We need people to know that they are not God's stepchild. He died to make them his child, and he wants to bless them. When I was in Bible school, I remember I was determined I was going to live by faith. I wasn't going to call home for anything. I wanted to learn faith. I knew I would need it in the ministry. And so there came a day when I was getting low on toothpaste and running out of deodorant and shampoo. And I wanted my brothers and sisters in the Bible school to appreciate me. So I didn't want to have bad hygiene. And I decided, let's go pray. I went down to the basement and I said, Lord, I just have these needs. I need deodorant. I need toothpaste. I need shampoo. Lord, I just need this stuff. I don't have a job. I don't have any money. Lord, I don't want to call mama or grandma. Lord, supply my need like you said in your word. And I said, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Just tell me what to do. Lord said, go for a walk. I said, okay, Lord, that's weird, but I'll go for a walk. I got my Walkman on with some praise music and began to walk across the campus, got to the main drive out to the road, and I said, now what, Lord? Lord said, go straight. So I walked down the road, And I'm looking on the ground to try and see if God had $20 on the road for me. I mean, my head was, yes, Lord, show me the $20. Got towards the end of the road. I said, Lord, now what? The Lord said, take a right. So I took a right. I'm walking down that street and looking to see. Maybe somebody dropped $20. Some nothing. Got to the end of that street. I said, now what, Lord? And the Lord said, take another right. I said, Lord, if I take a right, I'll be one block from the campus. I could have just came out and took a dead right. Why you take me around the long way? I walked up the street. And while I'm walking up that street, the Lord says to me, when you get up to the top of the hill and you get to the lights, a car's going to stop and offer you a ride. Get in. I said, oh, Jesus, nope. I'm not going to do that. I don't know who these people are. Some kind of crazy murderer, psycho person going to kidnap me and hold me for ransom. No way. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm looking for the $20, Lord, because I'm not getting in that car. When I got to the top of the street where the lights were, one block from the campus, as I got to the lights, my mother pulled up. And she said, get in the car. I'm going to take you to the store and get you whatever you need. She would have never found me down in the prayer room of the campus. But the Lord wanted to bless me, so he took me on a route that made no sense to me, but I arrived just when she pulled up. How many know our God is a good God? He is good, and he has blessing after blessing after blessing for those that trust and believe in him. And we need to tell people that God not only wants to save them, but God wants to bless them and supply their every need. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tell them there are bountiful blessings in the Lord. Is it always easy? No, but I'm blessed. Do I go through struggles? Yes, but I'm blessed. Is there heartache sometimes? Yes, but I'm still blessed. Hallelujah. I used to listen to my grandmother sing a song when I was growing up. She's still going. She's still kicking, 95 years old, praise God. She just left for Maine the other day to go up to Maine for a few weeks. 95 years old, still blessed, still going strong, still traveling. But she used to do dishes, and while she was doing dishes, she would sing a song that she learned as a child in Washburn Pentecostal Church up in Maine. She would sing, I am blessed. I am blessed every day of my life. I am blessed when I wake up in the morning or lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. That song stuck with me. We are blessed. Hallelujah. And we need to tell others that God is not some angry, lightning throwing God that they portray in the cartoons. But he is a God that blesses his children and shows them his love and kindness and compassion. We need to tell them. America needs to hear it. We need to tell them that the battle's over. We need to tell them where the bread is. We need to tell them that there are bountiful blessings awaiting them if they will turn to Jesus and give their lives to him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? While I was preaching, some of you were sitting there. And while I was preaching this message, you were saying to yourself, oh, if only Tammy were here. If only Jim could hear this. I wish so-and-so was here to hear this good news. Oh, beloved, you are the one to take it to them. You are the one to share it. I want to pray for two things this morning. First of all, there might be somebody here that says, you know what, Pastor Derek, I need this good news. I've been going through the struggle. I've been going through the battle. I've been going through the heartache. I've been spiritually starving. I haven't felt blessed in so long. I need God to touch me. I need God to transform me. I need God to bring me out victorious. I need prayer, Pastor. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Nobody's looking around. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. You're saying, that's me, Pastor. Pray. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Secondly, there might be those here who are the beggars. You're saying, I've been walking in blessing. I've been walking in victory. I've been walking in spiritual abundance. I've been well fed by the word of God. But there are people back in my city, my coworkers, my family, my friends, they need to hear. I need to tell them. I need God's help and God's strength and the boldness to tell others the good news. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm tired of not doing well. I'm tired of keeping it to myself. I'm going to tell somebody else. I need God's help. Someone else. Pray for me, Pastor. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those of you that raise your hand to take one more step of faith. I'm going to ask you to come out of your seat as the music begins to play and come down to the front. Meet me here at the altar. Let's pray together. Come now. Just come. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Just come. We're here to pray for you. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah.